podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.
It's great to be here. I'm Dave. If you don't know me, I'm one of the youth workers here at Belmont. And what I need to do first is kick all the slobs out. That doesn't mean if you're big and you enjoy watching telly, you don't have to leave. It's study leaders' own Bible study, if for the uninitiated. If you're leading house group this week and you want to get prepared and some tips for that, then now's your time to make your way. And Clive will be leading that section of the service and in another place. And you guys are stuck here with me, and I'm sure you've come here to hear me preach tonight, right? And not for the hog roast. This is amazing. This is how many people come to Belmont in the evening when there's a hog roast on. We're learning. We just need to do it every week. Hog roast every week. That's my vote. And the food tonight is actually just as important as anything else that we're going to do. I'm going to be preaching just for 10 minutes. In fact, I was practicing earlier and it was 8 minutes. So it's going to be swift. And then what's going to happen after I'm done talking in a few minutes, we're going to open up the floor and open it up for you guys to share. So I'm going to make you guys do some of the work this evening. And we're at the end of a series, and so we're going to just be asking ourselves, what have we learned in this series? And I'll share for a little while, but then it's over to you to tell us what you've been learning. For those of you who have been here for the series, you can share what you've been learning from Jesus through that. I'm assuming that God's been teaching other people other stuff, even though they may not have been here for the series. So you can share too. That's okay. That's allowed. So just have a think whilst I'm chatting. Not too much. Still be listening. But have a think about what you might want to share. What's God been teaching you lately that you could share with us to encourage us? That would be really great. And so we're at the end of a teaching series, as I said, called Meals and More, based on some of the ideas in this book, A Meal with Jesus by Tim Chester. And Tim points out three times in the New Testament where it says the Son of Man came. Son of Man is another title for Jesus. And there's three occasions. One is where it says to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The second is the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And the third is interesting, and it's the basis for our series. It says the Son of Man came eating and drinking. To me, that conjures up in my mind an image of Jesus arriving with a burger in one hand and food on the go and a drink. That's probably not what it means, but he certainly enjoyed food. And we see some really significant moments in the New Testament, and we've looked at some of them in this series, where meals have formed an important part of the mission of Jesus. And I wonder, hands up, who loves food? And that's some of you are here because of that reason, aren't you? And Jesus loves food. I think that's a big deal. Jesus loves food. And Meals and More is a teaching series where we've been thinking about some of the meaning of some of those meals in the New Testament and the significance of some of those meals. And they can be significant opportunities for us today to draw people closer to him and to spur one another on in him for all sorts of things. They can be fantastic opportunities for us today, and we've been learning about that too. And what we're going to do this evening is I'm just going to recap the series a little bit, just to, for those of you who missed it, here's what you missed. For those of you who are here, it'll just remind you what we've been learning about together. And at the end of our service, we're going to put it into practice straight away by sharing quality food and quality conversation together. So that's what we're doing. So if we flash back to part one, this was grace. And we were looking at Luke 5, 27 to 32. Where we read that Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. And the religious types have a serious problem with the people whom Jesus is choosing to associate himself with. And he explains it by saying, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And I think the big idea here is that Jesus will eat with anyone. Jesus will eat with anyone. In his grace, Jesus came to welcome and save sinners. And Jesus is alive today, we believe, and the same is still true. He wants to welcome and save sinners. So that was part one. Part two was community. Luke 7, 36 to 50, where we saw that Simon the Pharisee, he had a special meal with special guests. One of his special guests, his most special guest perhaps, was Jesus. And he was feeling quite good about who was around his house for tea, I think. But the meal was rudely interrupted by a prostitute, wasting loads of perfume, or so people thought, kissing Jesus' feet and crying all over them as well, right in the middle of their meal. She wasn't invited. But Jesus is teaching Simon in this passage about how his kingdom family is for everyone. And so we read in Luke 7:44, Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" I think that's a great picture if you imagine it happening. He's talking to Simon, but looking at the woman who's interrupted the party. And Jesus wants Simon to see that this woman is the only one there who's behaving appropriately. They thought just the opposite was true. But she's the only one behaving appropriately because she knows who Jesus is and she knows who she has been. And so this is how she responds. And the big lesson, Jesus wants his friends to eat with anyone too. He wants to eat with anyone and he wants his friends, or those who are going to call themselves his friends, he wants them to get the idea that they should be welcoming anyone as well. He came to create a community of forgiven people who welcome everyone to come to Jesus and be part of his kingdom family. So that's part two. Part three was hope. This was the one I delivered. Luke 9, verses 10 to 20. We looked at the miracle meal where Jesus reveals part of his true identity by feeding 5,000 people with a packed lunch. And we saw how it was not just a miracle about food and feeding stomachs, but was also a miracle where Jesus was showing and revealing himself as the hope of the world, prophesied in the Old Testament many, many times. And after that event, Jesus is chatting with his disciples and he says, "But what about you?" Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Peter gets it right. And the big lesson is this. Jesus is known through his catering. Just borrowing words from the book there by Tim Chester. Jesus is known through his catering. This miracle meal revealed Jesus to people, and our meals can as well, if Jesus is the host. And I don't know if you remember, but I said, and I challenged us during May to have some meals where Jesus is the host. Get it in the diary and invite people around. I wonder if anyone's done that. Maybe we'll find out later on. Part four, mission. Luke 14, verses 1 to 11. Jesus warns against religion that gets in the way of God and against pride instead of humility. And he uses the example of a meal where people choose where to sit, positions of prominence, and such forth. And he's teaching people about humility. And he's the ultimate example of it as well. He says, "For all those who will exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And the big lesson, not surprisingly, as it's called mission, Jesus is on a mission. And Jesus was also the ultimate example of humility, isn't he? Jesus was God, but humbled as a human being to rescue people. But today, and sometimes I think we forget this, Jesus isn't humbled. He's exalted, ruling and reigning over all, whilst the mission continues through us, his people, if we're trusting and following him. So that was part four. Part five was salvation. Luke 22, verses 7 to 20. Jesus uses bread and wine as part of a meal to help his disciples remember what he would do on the cross. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20 says, and Jesus is explaining, "This is my body given for you." He's talking about the bread. "Do this in remembrance of me." And he says, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And the big lesson, and if you like playing with your food, that's probably not what it's about, but the big lesson is Jesus' rescue mission is reenacted with food. We don't just share bread and wine every Sunday because we like bread and wine, or we fancy a top-up because you missed breakfast. It's a reminder, isn't it, of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus came to die on the cross in our place for our sins, so we can have forgiveness, friendship with God, life to the full, and life forever with him. And as his disciples, we share bread and wine on a weekly basis in this church to remember what he did to make it possible for us and others to know God personally. Part six was the last one, promise. Luke 24, 17 to 35. Jesus, at this point in Luke's gospel, has died and risen and appears to two of the disciples as they walk along the road, and they don't recognize him at first. They're kept from realizing who it is that's talking to them. And even after the most amazing Bible study, and I would love to have been there, where Jesus shows them all the way through the Old Testament, all the pointers to him, how the Old Testament is all about him, they still don't realize who it is. during that amazing Bible study. It must have been incredible to be there. It's only later on, interestingly, when they're sitting down to eat a meal together, that they realise it's Jesus back from the dead. It says, verse 30 to 31, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognised him. It's interesting that they recognised him in that moment, after all they'd been through, walking and talking together. And the big lesson, Jesus is the one prophecy promised. The whole Bible is about Jesus. It hadn't all been written at this point. It's finished now. It's still all about him. The Old Testament points to him with over 300 specific prophecies, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. And you may have heard this before, but I find it fun to think about maths at this point. I'm not a brilliant mathematician. But there was probably a handful of people that were born in Bethlehem and died on a cross. That's two of them. You might find a few of those. But all 300, the mathematical probability of one person in history fulfilling every single one of those, in the specificity of every single one of them, it just gets ridiculous. The only logical possibility there, I think, is that God knows the future. He said what would happen, and then he did it in Jesus. And today we can celebrate and share Jesus whenever we eat food together as well. So there we go. If anyone was timing, I hope it wasn't longer than 10 minutes, because I promised off the wall it wouldn't be. And we've reached the end of this series. Jesus came eating and drinking. We love food, or I do, and Jesus loves food. And if we love Jesus, meals can be great opportunities to show grace in him, strengthen community in him, show hope in him, do mission for him, reenact what he did, and to celebrate the promise of Jesus as well. And what we're going to do now is just share. I might just pray first, and then we're going to open it up. I'm going to start running around with this microphone. And if anyone would love to share with us what Jesus has been teaching us lately, it may be about this series, it may not be. I'm sure Jesus has been teaching things to many of us over the last few weeks and months. We'd love to hear about it and encourage each other with some of these things. Let me just pray for us before we say it together. Father, thank you that you're our God. You're alive, you're real, and you're involved in our lives. Thank you that you came to this earth as a human being, as Jesus Christ, Lord, and you lived for us to show us what it means to be in perfect relationship with you. You died for us, Lord, to take the punishment for our sin, and you rose again, defeating death on our behalf, so that that way back to God can be blasted wide open, and we're invited to follow and trust you so we can know you too. And Father, many of us have done that already, and that's our journey, and we're living for you and sharing you with others. And for some of us, perhaps we're not yet convinced about that. Lord, I just pray for wherever we are on the journey, that we would take steps forward, closer to you, trusting you more, knowing you more. And help us as we share together now, just to really encourage each other to that end.